PhD candidate Zach Hoyt has spent the past 4 years studying otters in southern southeast Alaska. That's included capturing and tagging 30 of the animals and tracking their movements and their foraging behavior using radio telemetry. He's been working with colleagues from the University of Alaska Fairbanks as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Overall, Hoyt says southern southeast is seeing an otter population that is growing exponentially, but that growth isn't the same in every area, and neither is their diet.
A lot of areas where otters have been for quite some time, we're actually seeing a slowing in the population growth. And those sort of subpopulations have a much different diet than other subpopulations within this larger southern southeast population that have larger growth rates and have higher densities.
The fur trade wiped out southeast otters by the early 20th century, but the state reintroduced the animals to the outer coast in the 1960s, and they've thrived. They've been recolonizing southeast's inside waters for the last 10 to 15 years, according to Hoyt, who says the animals have been expanding their range by 1.5 to 1.7 square kilometers a year. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service estimates the southeast-wide otter population at nearly 26,000 based on aerial surveys in 2010 and 2011. University of Alaska Marine Advisory Program agent Sonny Rice interviewed southeast residents about their observations of otters moving into new areas. She thinks those individual reports could help paint a broader picture of the otter's expansion.
It paralleled fairly closely what the surveys had shown. There were some observations that I got from local people that were outside of the range that we saw in those surveys. But those surveys are specific points in time, and they also only look for aggregations of otters, whereas people would be reporting individual sightings to me. And so it may be that those out-of-range sightings, which happened earlier on, predict where that range might go.
The scientific fieldwork took an in-depth look at the otter's impact on commercially harvested shellfish species, sea cucumbers and Dungeness crab in particular, but also geoduck clams and red sea urchins. Zach Hoyt.
We definitely have seen a very clear correlation between sea otters, colonizing an area and a decrease in those commercial shellfish species. Those shellfish species that we also think of as commercial are usually the sort of energy rich and easy to obtain for a sea otter. So those, of course, are the species that an otter is going to select first.
Hoyt says otters typically forage 30 to 60 feet deep, though they saw some young males going as deep as 150 feet. Hoyt expects the region will continue to see a decline in the amount of commercially available shellfish, but he says it's premature to blame it entirely on the otters.
We do know it is probably a major cause of the decline of a lot of these fisheries, but we also have got a lot of other things that we've kind of got to tease out of this. There's economics involved, regulations involved that allow certain areas to get depleted even faster than they would because of compression of fleets or sort of other management sort of scenarios.
Otters are not preyed upon by orcas or sharks in southeast, and they are protected under federal law, but coastal Alaska natives may hunt them, and Hoyt says a big upswing in hunting has had an impact on the growth of the otter population in the Cake area.
One of the really interesting things that's happened in our study site this year is we have seen a quite large increase in hunting mortality, and that started during the winter of 2012-2013, and so in our primary study site near Cake, Alaska, we're seeing, I think, a slowing of the growth in the population and also a sort of a contraction of the distribution of otters, and that seems to be related to an increase in hunting pressure, and it's a significant increase in hunting pressure.
In fact, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, hunting is at an all-time high. This coming year, Hoyt will be writing up his field data for a peer-reviewed publication and his doctoral thesis. Meanwhile, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service expects to do more aerial surveys and collaborative research with the university in the future. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.